Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good afternoon, all the best people I know. Yes, that is you listening live or on iTunes or on replay. I really appreciate that you're here with us because our guest today, John Brubaker, is really going to help you get out into a winning psychology mindset. Just really, really going to enjoy him. I met John through another show that you may be listening to, Elizabeth Hamilton's Best Ever You, and his articles just struck me. They were so powerful. They were so fresh in their ideas and their content, and, you know, talk to him, and here he is on with us. So it's going to be a really interesting show for many of you, and you can, it's probably a guy show too, you know, you can get your husbands or boyfriends or friends at work has been with ESPN for the sports newscasting end of things, and he has a really great perspective that's a lot of fun, and I just know that you're going to enjoy this time with him. Before I read his great bio and bring him on the line, I wanted to remind you to mark us as a favorite and follow us because we do have special shows, just like today. We don't usually have a 5:30 evening show, but this is the only time we could get John. So we can take John when we can get him. And if you get the worry-free updates, you won't miss out on some great mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. And also, we have the Motivation Marathon coming up. How much fun is that? It's going to be networking. It's going to be a lot of fun, fabulous people together with great ideas to help you be your best. If you go to motivationmarathon.com, all one word, motivationmarathon.com, you can sign up, register. It's going to be an all-day event, but if you can't be there from 9 to 9 on June 11th, you will get the replays free. And then, of course, there's a 30-page ebook, which is fantastic, having read it myself and using it myself, and it's a Step Into Your Greatness ebook, and then you get lots of other great gifts. So it's a lot of fun. Bring a friend, and I'll enjoy seeing you there. Well, let's get into our topic today. It's like the locker room to the boardroom, success to more success, and there's a lot of common themes. So John Brubaker, from collegiate athlete to three-time coach of the year to analyst and personality for ESPN Radio and Fox Sports to business consultant and author, John Brubaker knows the keys to take your performance to the next level. Brubaker guided the St. Andrews College Lacrosse program from unparalleled success, producing top 10 national rankings each year. Wow, he's a three-time coach of the year. Okay, not everybody can even hope to get that once, let alone three times. Brubaker has coached 9 All-American teams. He's had 7 of his players drafted to play professionally. He's been a featured speaker on the U.S. Lacrosse National Convention. Whoa. And he has televised instructional pieces for coaches and their effectiveness, or how to be effective, I should say. He has a debut book coming out. Actually, he has 2 books coming out this summer, but really am excited to talk to him about this one coming out. It's called Overtime Victory, Success Strategies from the Locker Room to the Boardroom. And he uses a multidisciplinary approach to help organizations develop their competitive edge. He's a 1992 graduate of Fairleigh Dickinson University with a bachelor's in psychology, and he's also earned a master's degree in personal psychology from FDU in 1993. Brubaker completed his doctoral level, very cerebral, completed his doctoral level coursework in sports psychology at Temple University. John's passions include, but not limited to, being vice president of the National Cute Speak Association. He serves on the board of their board in Maine. He's also a member of the Kiwanis and Positive Coaching Alliance. And he and his wife and two children live in Maine. And you can connect with John for coaching or speaking at johnbrubaker.com. And it's a great pleasure to introduce everybody to John Brubaker. Hi, John. How are you today?
Hey, Deb. Thanks for having me on the air today.
Thanks for coming on. I'm very excited to have you here. I love what you're doing, and it's a nice segue how you go from that psychology for sports into helping people be successful. And we were talking earlier before we came on the air, you know, it seems so eons ago, I'm showing my age, but I was co-captain of my college swim team, and then I went into cardiac surgery sales with a biology degree, and I really do think that there are some common themes and some great things that we can all learn in sports to help us be successful in life. And I know that you've really bridged that, and you've been great at it, and, you know, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but the first thing is, tell us about those books coming out, because you have two books coming out this summer, and I'm really interested in the one that I had mentioned, because I think it's really related to a lot of the articles I've been reading that you've had published in many national magazines, and I'm really psyched about the content coming up in that one. But let people know about what they can expect this summer from you.
Oh, absolutely, thank you. The first book is a book I'm co-authoring with. And these might be some familiar names to folks in New England. Senator George Mitchell, who's from Maine, and Dr. Warren Bennis, who's one of, if not the foremost authorities on leadership in business, and Congresswoman Patricia Schroeder as well. And it's really an anthology on leadership and different people's perspectives on leadership in business, sports, and life. And that's called Leadership, Helping Others to Succeed. And that'll be out this summer. And I'm co-authoring that book. The book that you had mentioned is my book, Overtime Victory. And it is what the title indicates, success strategies from the locker room to the boardroom. You know, and as you know, there are so many parallels between sport and business. Just the competitive nature of both fields. And that's why, you know, when you said you're a captain of your swim team and it really helped propel you when you went into medical sales, those parallels and the life skills you gain on the field or in the pool or on the court serve you so well. And, you know, for people who maybe have forgotten some of that, or for others who weren't athletes or weren't coaches, there are some real success strategies, you know, both, you know, in terms of individual performance enhancement and also teamwork that can be gleaned from the locker room. So the book's really just me reflecting on a 15-year coaching career and the parallels that I've drawn in leadership of a team, team building, recruitment, performance enhancement, you know, just team chemistry that carry forth into business.
And no matter what business, you know, we're all in the business of living, and I think that this applies to everyone. But I really think that in my interaction with you, I noticed you're very, very articulate. You really follow up. You really make, at least me, you know, feel like $1 million. And I think that that's part of that discipline. That's part of getting to know maybe all the players on the field, getting to know each person individually, and really being committed to that person. And their success is your success, so that it becomes, you know, everybody winning. And I think that that psychology and seeing, you know, your conduct in action, it's no wonder that you're so successful. And, you know, not everybody can be Coach of the Year, but we can all read the wisdom from the Coach of the Year. So I think we're excited to hear more about that book. But, you know, one of the things that you talk about is that power of one person, that each person can make a difference. And leadership, if you don't have a good leader at the top, you can't have a good team following. So, you know, do you have one thing that you find that you excel in that we can all expect to learn from you? The one thing that you do that separates you from every other coach, life coach, business coach, from your experience, you know, in lacrosse and with sports? Because I think that everybody has a niche, and I think it's our differences that make us, you know, really powerful. And so I'm curious if you could share with the listeners what makes you different.
That's a great question. I'm more than happy to share that, and then also share how people can sort of find their one thing, you know, their power of one. And you know, really my one biggest differentiator, I feel, has always been, and this is actually, you know, the first interview I went on when I was a lowly assistant living on ramen noodles and power bars. I interviewed for a head coaching job, and one of the questions I was asked was, you know, literally, what makes you special? Why should I hire you? Is the first question, you know, after, you know, the pleasantries are exchanged, and the athletic director just said flat out, what makes you special? Why should I hire you? And he said, don't take that personally. I'm not trying to offend you. I ask everybody that. And you know, we're all in the business of sales. And he wanted me to sell myself. My answer was quite simply, you know, I probably don't have the most sophisticated playbook in the world. You know, there are other coaches who probably have, you know, more experience, a more elaborate system or playbook. But I don't think anybody or anybody else he's going to interview is going to be able to get the most out of their players like I will. And I really found that that's been my differentiator. You know, we've won, just to give you an example, it's really just the ability to turn potential into performance. In 2002, which is probably our most successful year, my team went to the NCAA Final Four. And we started out the season, we were unranked. We weren't even picked to be in the finals of our conference. And we went on to win 10 games as our first 10-win season in program history. They'd never had a winning season before. And we won 6 games by a 1-goal margin. And we were expected to lose all 6 of those games. So, you know, it's the ability to really rally your team, whatever industry you're in, and get them to believe in themselves, trust you and believe in themselves, and they can achieve more than they think and certainly a lot more than most people think. And that is really kind of how I define what I do. Even now, if I'm meeting with an executive to, you know, whether it's to do some workshop facilitation with an organization or some consulting, or even just with a coaching client, anyone asks me, that same question in different words, you know, what makes you special, why should I hire you? I feel it's my ability to turn potential into performance and to get people to not just work with each other, but really want to work for each other. I think there's a big difference between working with someone and really wanting to work for them. You know, when you work with people,
huge.
Your head's in your work. When you work for each other, your heart's in your work.
Isn't that, you just nailed it. I really think that that is the difference between, you know, great leaders. And I love what you're saying, you know, as far as what makes you different in that trust and bringing the best out in someone and working for someone and with someone. And that idea that you help rally, and I love that word too, the people that you're coaching or the people that you work with to really want to help the other person succeed. Because in that, everybody else is going to be better off. And without having true passion, without having a genuine heart and caring for the other person, can you really have lasting success? Can it really be, you know, like you just gave the example of, you were an underdog. You weren't supposed to be winning those games, but you did, and you were a champion. And that didn't happen without a lot of heart, a lot of commitment, a lot of trust, and a lot of leadership. And that's what you're really encouraging us all to do today, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, everyone has a unique talent that they're blessed with. Not everybody realizes that early in their career, even some people midlife. But we all go through a journey. And I think a big part of the journey is finding our purpose and really kind of, you know, harnessing and channeling what our unique talent is once we determine it. And probably the biggest thing that really changed the trajectory of my coaching career was when I started studying strength-based leadership. I don't know if you or any of your listeners are familiar with the book Now Discover Your Strengths by Marcus Buckingham.
Tell us about that and tell us, define okay. that for us, if you could, for the people listening.
I believe the Gallup organization.
Mm-hmm.
It did all the survey research for his book, but it's published by Free Press. Buckingham wrote a book, basically just, you know, shows you how to discover and develop your unique talents, and then also the talents of the people that you're leading or managing. And I read that book in 2001, and before that, I was worried about, you know, helping student athletes kind of improve their weaknesses or deficiencies in their game, or in the weight room, things like that, thinking if I help get their weaknesses up to average, it'll make them better all around, as opposed to really, you know, understanding that if you focus on what you can do, it's way more powerful than trying to improve what you don't do well. And, you know, I took the survey and the book, you know, learned sort of the process of self-reflection and self-discovery, really learned what my unique talents were and kind of how to channel and focus my energy personally in terms of my own development and performance. I took all the principles and I applied on my coaching and my team and just followed really a strengths-based model and putting the right people in the right positions to be successful and really soar with their strengths and bring their unique talents to the table in a way no one else could. And that's when I saw the results really change for the better on the field. You know, to go from being, you know, right around a 500 team to consistently winning, beating teams you shouldn't beat, and really letting your players and take their strengths and hit their stride on the field and develop more confidence because of what they're doing, you know, they believe in, first of all, and they're better at it. So that the confidence, you just develop momentum as a result of that, individually and then also collectively. And I really have applied that to just about everything I do now, whether it's coaching people, you know, parenting my children. And I do think that there are a couple questions that you can ask yourself as people are looking to, you know, tap into that power one themselves. And, you know, what's the one thing you do better than anybody else that can help your team at work, you know, or your athletic team, whatever the case may be, help your team be successful? And there's four questions within that. You know, what's needed? Kind of define what you do. And what are you good at that you can become great at? Is the second question. Because you know better than anybody the skills and the abilities you possess. And kind of in that process, how you can maximize those abilities instead of working to improve deficiencies, just sort of minimize those weaknesses. And the third thing, just as far as being a team player and helping propel the team to the goal, what's the one little thing I can do that no one else on the team wants to do? And that that has nothing, in a way, it has nothing to do with, you know, maximizing your strengths on the surface.
But I just wanted to pause because I really love the philosophy that you have. Rather than making somebody they aren't, you try to really make them the best that they already are. And knowing what they're good at, knowing what they can make a difference in, and more importantly, having them dig, you know, in the soil around their own feet to discover what it is that they can celebrate about themselves, what they're passionate about,
thing,
and then working with that.
That little thing you could do nobody else wants to, Deb, well, it might seem like that has nothing to do with strengths-based leadership. You know, everyone... it's something everyone can do. So if you have every person in your department trying to find that one thing that other people just don't want to do, that gets back to working for each other, wanting to work for each other. And, you know, every great team has people doing that. They may not realize it. It may not be a conscious process, but they have people doing that.
You know, and the other thing that you really force us to reflect on is just because we take whatever that one thing is that's different that we do really great or, you know, even better, what are you good at that you can be really great at? Love that, John. But, you know, the way that you really ask us to not take that for granted, we do take it for granted because if it's something that a listener right now does every day that's a natural talent, you know, you don't think that it's special. But just because you can do it really well doesn't mean that I could do it really well or somebody else listening could do it really well.
Sure.
And that's why it's important to go through that exercise that you gave us because we have to take it from the unconscious, put it into that conscious so that we can really get to great.
And that's
correct?
One of the things, oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things, that it's kind of a paradigm shift for a lot of people in human resources once they start to figure this out. Because so, you know, don't even get me started on performance reviews, but let me go there for a second. When you look at a performance review, so much time and energy is invested in, you know, the evaluation of an employee as far as what their deficiencies are, what they could be doing better, or, you know, what they can't do that the organization wants them to start doing, as opposed to let's take their unique talents, really tap into them even further, and because it's something that interests the employee, they're naturally, A, going to be more passionate about it, and B, are going to be more engaged, and a byproduct of that would just be, you know, more success for everybody. But they're so worried about what people can't do. And if you look at that from a sports standpoint, be kind of like the equivalent of someone taking Tiger Woods when he was a little kid, and instead of making him the best golfer he could be back then, well, yeah, you're good at golf. You get some talent there. But we're going to get you a lot of personal instruction and training in swimming.
That's a little upside down.
Yeah. But
that's
what's going on.
That needs to go blow.
This is going on every day in organizations. They're focusing on what people can't do or what, you know, we're going to teach you how to do this. You might not be good at it. It might take away from your ability to be super productive and engaged in an area that you have a natural, unique talent and strength. But that's kind of, you know, and I think that's an eye-opener for people when you do use that sports analogy. Does that make any sense to take a Tiger Woods and convert him over to tennis, this young child golf prodigy, or convert him over to swimming?
And, you know, it's also another way to look at that, which is a really great test that we can all apply. You know, if you're going to, you know, consider working for a company, if that's what you're, you know, doing right now, maybe you want to look at Are the leaders, are the HR people, are the people already working in the company, are they being asked to do things that maybe they're not really excited about or talented in, but, you know, we want to have this done? With the analogy, the Tiger Woods with the golfing and the tennis, you know, is it a company that has a culture of, you know, putting people in their strengths and focusing on those things and having other people, you know, do things that are their strengths to cover all of the needs of the entire organization, just like a team on the field, so that you can do what John's doing and have a successful winning organization and a group where everybody's happy and winning. And, you know, there's just so much that you've said already that I think we need to write down and really look at the places that we're working in. Look at dynamics in relationships. I mean, so many times people want to change someone. And what you're saying and what you've done in your coaching and being so successful is you're taking that psychology of making somebody, you know, really good become really great, which I find is powerful.
Absolutely.
Did I just go off? I was just so really overwhelmed with the whole idea. I just love it. I mean, I think it's really amazing. Do you, you know, and that really is, it is crazy. Why do people do that, do you think, most organizations and companies? And why do they do that?
I think a lot of companies have their blinders on. This is the way we do things because this is the way we've always done things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know as well as I do, in today's economy, you know, there's really no room for that anymore.
Yeah.
I think the self-employed recognize that a little more than corporate America, but that's another conversation.
Right, but, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people, there's a lesson in that as well, because somebody may be really good in the creative, you know, the right brain thinker may have a hard time with the analytics on the left-hand side of the brain. I mean, what would you tell somebody in that situation? How would you coach them to success in that scenario?
The self-employed, the entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Get yourself an accountant. Get yourself a virtual assistant. You know, anything that isn't in the top three in terms of your strengths and unique talents that you ought to be focusing 80% of your energy on, delegate it. You need to be in a position where you can afford to delegate it. And people would argue, well, I just can't afford a virtual assistant right now. I can't afford, you know, the admin person in my office. In a lot of respects, you can't afford not to, because, you know, those unique talents and strengths that you have, more often than not, that's going to be the game changer for you in terms of your income and in terms of, you know, your ability to develop new business or, you know, to market yourself. So I think that it's the return on your investment is going to be far greater when you can, you know, hand the ball off to someone else who that is their forte.
Mm.
And even if you are self-employed, it still takes a team, you know. I like to say a dream without a team is a nightmare. You've got a team behind you.
I love that. That is a blog post, Twitter character. That is so cool. Say that one more time. I love that.
A dream without a team is a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that, I love that. Very, very clever. Love it. I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk about making those dreams come true. And I want to also give out, while I'm thinking of it, your website so that people can get in touch with you, get your newsletter, and really get more in-depth training from you on all these things that you're talking about in the show. Can you share that with people listening?
Absolutely. There's two places they can go. They can go to coachbru.com. That's coachbru.com. They can also go to my blog, subscribe to my blog, blog.coachbrew.com. So that should be easy enough. And,
it's really great. And you have a great, great site and lots of great resources. I mean, that's like getting a certificate just going through your website. I feel like I graduated when I was done. You know, you go there, so many great things. Adversity to advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch on that because you've done that, you know, so well with your teams. In sports and sports psychology, you know, you weren't supposed to have a winning team, yet you won how many times repeatedly, how many Coach of the Year awards, how many players made it to professionals, and a lot of people listening feel like they're in a place where maybe they're in adversity. So that psychology and that coaching success you've had, translate that into becoming an advantage for us. How do we do that, John?
Well, you know, adversity to advantage is sort of, for me as a coach, it was necessity is the mother of invention. You know, we were, you know, outmanned a lot of times, bigger rosters, bigger budgets, bigger, you know, more scholarships, but we had to find a way to win. We had to get creative just out of necessity. And, you know, spending years doing that, I didn't really even think of it as specifically finding advantage from adversity. It was just trying to win games, trying to find a way to, you know, to counter what was going on the field against us, that, you know, people were exploiting a weakness perhaps. Where I really started to hone in on, you know, this whole concept of adversity to advantage is after my daughter was born. My oldest daughter is 7 years old, and she was born with progressive hearing loss, Deb. And you know, you learn a lot from your kids. You probably learn more from them than they learn from you. I really believe that. And I just got to see how, you know, someone who one of their senses is diminished, how it heightens the other senses. And as opposed to, you know, this child focusing on, oh, boy, I can't hear. I can't hear what the teacher's saying. I can't hear, you know, what my peers are saying on the playground. You know, she found other ways to overcome that and use it to her advantage. And not to manipulate situations, but to facilitate communication. She'll enter a conversation or, you know, a crowd of her peers and won't really hear what's going on real well, won't know what they're saying. She'll find a way to slip in there and start leading the conversation, start changing and steering it in a direction she wants it to go, because then she knows what she's talking about and she can figure out what they're saying, read their lips. She does have hearing aids, so that helps her, you know, acquire, you know, process and acquire what they're saying. But you know, I really started to see that with her. That's taking adversity and moving it to advantage. And that, you know, her hearing loss began sort of my journey into, you know, deaf education and working with the National Acute Speech Association a couple years ago. And this may sound like an aside, but I assure you it's relevant. A couple of years ago, I'm watching a football game on TV. UCLA is playing the University of Washington. And I see a UCLA offense come off the field. And, you know, if you've ever watched a football game, you know, the offense trots off the field, the defense trots on, and everybody on offense goes and sits on the bench with their coaches, and they, you know, go over on the board, you know, schematically what needs to happen during the next series when they get back out there, and they're doing their X's and their O's. Well, the running back, number 33, didn't go over with his teammates to the sidelines with his coach and sit down and sort of review what happened and what needs to happen the next time they head out there. He went and stood with the defensive coordinator on the sidelines when UCLA's defense was on the field. And I'm just kind of passively watching the game, watching this happen, thinking, that looks a little odd. You know, why is he doing that? What's so special about him? And I'm watching this first quarter, second quarter, and start of the third quarter, and it's consistently every possession. And every now and then, camera zooms in, and I noticed you know, he's doing most of the talking to the defensive coordinator, and then the defensive coordinator would, you know, on his headset, he'd be talking to the coach up in the booth, and then he'd signal in, you know, defensive plays to his players on the field. And then, you know, as it's going on, I'm figuring out, and I realize number 33 is Derek Coleman. Derek Coleman is profoundly deaf. He's standing across the field from the University of Washington's offensive coaches, reading their lips as they're talking, you know, to their coaches on their headsets and calling their plays in to the quarterback on the field. So he's reading their lips and telling his defensive coach, here's what they're about to do. Call whatever you got to call to counter it.
Wow.
Now there's if that isn't adversity to advantage, I don't know what is.
Wow. Yeah. There's some comments coming into the chat room, and I have to say, I think that example that you just gave, and also to your daughter, Candy O'Donnell's in the chat room. She actually has a great radio show. You should be on her radio show, too. She's got a great radio show, but she's talking about learning from children. And Venture Guru is talking about knowing people with disadvantages, a coworker with only one arm, and 10 or 20 years older that he worked with, who worked circles around some of the younger people. And I think that that's, again, all of us are really, I think, getting what you're talking about with the adversity to advantage, but, you know, really just what you're sharing, too, and how much you work with as a passion, the deaf in your community and all of that, and with your daughter. But, you know, it doesn't matter what it is that we have supposedly as a deficit. You know, it becomes that advantage if we are open to the possibility and work with one another and care. And as you said, have that heart and that passion, you know, to be committed. And, oh, that is just, that's just really inspirational. Very, very, very inspirational.
And you know, that's one of the things I talk about in my book. I call it streakness.
Yep.
It's a word I've coined, and that's, you know, from weakness comes strength. You know, what appears to, you know, someone, you know, the average Joe on the street in the public, what appears to that person as a weakness, if it's, you know, someone with one arm or one leg, or, you know, in my daughter's case or Derek Coleman's case, hearing loss or deafness. You know what, really, if you're that person walking a mile in their shoes, it's actually a strength, because they don't view it as I can't hear or I have one arm. They view it as, okay, this is who I am. Now, what's my unique talent? And they go find that unique talent. And one of his unique talents was being able to help his team, you know, and that's something no one else could do. So, you know, it's behind every weakness, there's a strength, is kind of the,
I love
how
your word.
The word streakness.
Yeah, that is really cool, John. Streakness. Okay, that's the word of the day, everybody. That's something we can write down and have that on my mirror. Streakness. I love that. Strength. Take every weakness has a strength, and we can become better from all of that. That is so awesome, and I know that you've got that coming in the book. You know, we're coming down on time, and I really want to make sure we talk about something that you do so well that I think I know I need to hear more about, and I bet the listeners do too. You have something that you call Win the Day, and this helps us really be successful, and you have to tell us about that and how we can do it.
Absolutely. I just recently published a success journal, and my mantra is Win the Day. And so often people set these lofty goals, and you just look at, for example, New Year's resolutions. By the third week in January, 80% of the people who made their New Year's resolution have already broken it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just look at gym memberships. Talk to any gym owner about the membership, like the particip- participation rate decline right around that third week in January, and the numbers would probably mirror that statistic. But in terms of winning the day, people get so bogged down in what went wrong. You know, maybe it's an interaction with that toxic coworker. Maybe it's the pile of things left to do at the end of the day for tomorrow, deadlines. You know, people get sucked into the negative as opposed to, you know, focusing on the positive and, you know, being able to see that light at the end of the tunnel get a little brighter. So, you know, I created a success journal where people can seek and celebrate small success that'll lead to a big goal at the end of the quarter, the end of the year, whatever, you know, whatever their big picture goal is later. And it's just kind of the whole concept of being in the moment, you know, that day. And the name of the success journal is called 3x5. And there are two reasons behind that. The first is it's a micro journal. It's a one-page journal for each day of the week. And it's, you're going to micro journal three small successes you had that day that will contribute to your big picture goal later. And it could be really communicating better with your boss. You asked your boss for feedback. And normally you're, I don't know, a little reluctant to do that for fear of what they may say. But just, you know, having that small step of courage to do that and step out and do that. You can micro journal that. But the goal is to micro journal by the end of the day. Three small successes by 5 p.m., 3x5.
3x5. I love that. Okay, so everybody listening, the takeaway, 3x5, three small successes by 5 p.m. I love that. I had Justin Sachs was on a couple weeks ago, and he has 10 by 10 or something, 10, mm-hmm. 10 for 10, and it's 10 things before 10 a.m., and one of them is don't open up your email box. You'll go in the social media black hole there. But I love that, the 3x5, things by 5 p.m. John,
and
you're,
it's something
you're just filled with great ideas.
When you hit an obstacle and you're feeling down and you're kind of kicking yourself a little bit, you can actually go back and look at, I look at it like deposits in the bank. You're creating some equity, and, you know, those deposits will be fuel for the fire later towards your bigger goal. But when you hit that obstacle, you can refer back to those successes you've had as a focusing tool to get you back to a positive mindset. And, you know, something I did with my athletes, you know, we looked at practice as, you know, every day you're conditioning and practicing. It's like a daily deposit in the bank. And that way when game day arrived, you know you've been working hard, putting your work in. You know there are ample funds to draw from to get the win that day. And that's kind of the whole concept behind the win the day component of the success journal is, you know, after you document your three small successes, you put your win the day goal down for the very next day. So you're also, there's, I'm very big into performance rituals. And this helps you bring closure to your workday. Your workday may not end at 5, but if you can just document your success whenever your workday does end, and then also write down your one big goal that you have to reach tomorrow to win that day, you're going to sleep better at night. You're going to be more present with your family when you go home. You're physically and mentally not taking your work home with you, because now you know what you have to do the next day, as opposed to not documenting that, driving home, thinking and ruminating about what you got to do while you're home, while you're trying to get to bed. It's just, it's healthier. And it's a performance ritual. Just
wow.
To bring closure to your work.
I just love what you've, I love what you're about. I love how you take the psychology of sports and you're winning sports and winning in the business, winning in the business of living. I love all your segues, you know, win the day. Fish aren't stupid because they don't climb trees. You have to have them in the right environment. You have to have them working in their strengths with the in the place where they can succeed. And, you know, you're just an inspiration. You're going to have to come back on when your book is out. Will you do that for us? Because I can tell from the excitement in the chat room and people are just loving listening to you. Everybody's saying what a great guest you are. And I'm sad that we have to go, but you're going to come back, right?
Absolutely, I'd love to. And I'm trying to log into the chat room and communicate with Adventure Guru and Candy O'Donnell. And I don't know if I'm technologically challenged or what, but I can't get into the chat.
That's okay. I'll have to get you the things because there's lots of hearts and kisses that were going to you. Great show and all these things and nice comments. Well, I tell you, of course, I think that we have a great listening audience here. I mean, some of the best people we know. Best people we know guests, best people we know listeners. It's a lot of fun. John, you are doing some wonderful things, and I just love what you're about, and thank you so much for sharing your shine with us. And give out your website and contact information one more time so that listeners can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. I'd love to have Candy and Venture Guru and Erica and everybody on the chat here. I'd love to continue the conversation. You can email me at John, J-O-H-N, at coachbrew.com, and that's BRU.com, and that's also my domain name for my website. They can reach me there as well, and that success journal is, it's version 2.0 is gone to press and being printed now, so if anyone would like a copy, they can order that online as well.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have you back on, promise, when your one of the two books comes out, whichever one comes out first, we'll have you on then. Sounds
absolutely
good to me.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I know that you actually might be on somebody else's show, so who knows? I don't know if you'll be ahead. But I really appreciate you coming on, and I really get a lot of value reading so many of your publications, and I just really love your twist and your fresh approach and you just new ways of thinking about things that really causes me to reflect on everything that you're talking about today and so much more. So I know that everybody listening is going to really enjoy going to your website because tons and tons of great resources. We'll have you on soon when the books come out and just stay in touch. And you're also on LinkedIn and Facebook and all those places as well. But you're doing amazing work. So we want to thank you for that. And just keep us posted. Keep us posted on what's going on with you, and I'll let everybody know in advance so that they can have their questions to you, and we'll keep the conversation going because I tell you, sports psychology, business psychology, family psychology, there's a lot of common traits in people that really win in life. And, you know, I think that we really need good mentors. We need people that are willing to help us and teach us and share with us, just like you're doing, you know, in your world. So thank you very, very much, John, for being on today.
Hey, my pleasure, Deb, and I'm one of your biggest fans, too. I always learn something I can apply to make my life a little more successful every time I read your blog and your articles. And it's been a pleasure being on air with you. Thanks again.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, Best People We Know Club, we all help each other. We have to. Eleanor Roosevelt, my fave. Learn from others. You can't make all the mistakes yourself. That and Oscar Wilde, be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Got to love that one. All right. Well, thank you very much. I want to thank John again. Go to his website. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a guest. Make sure you go to iTunes if you want to download the show again to recycle all this wisdom and knowledge. And you can rate the show, and you can download it to your mobile device, or you can download it onto your computer. And if you enjoyed this and you found John's wisdom helpful to you, be sure to share it with a friend because the only way that we keep going and growing is by you telling somebody else about the show because we're here as a service to you. And if we don't have you here listening, we can't have wonderful guests like John coming back. So sign up for Motivation Marathon. Love to see you at that. Go out and make it a great day. Be a blessing. And as John was saying, go out and do something that you're really good at and become great at it. Because when you're great, everybody else around you is going to be great. And that's what we need to do, is help each other step into our greatness, and the world will be a much better place. And we'll have a lot more fun, too.
Thank you
for
listening
to
the Best People We Know Radio Show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.